Hello, pilgrims. It's May 16th, which translates to episode 16 of Mark in May. Another day with Jesus, walking through the Gospel of Mark. It's a beautiful day so far here in Arthur, Illinois. We've got a wonderful atmosphere in the pastor's study with the myrtle and thyme candle going, and the shades are open, the window's up, the birds are singing, and we've got a really special tea, my favorite tea of all time, the Kava tea by Yogi. That is wonderful stuff when you can find it. Sometimes Kroger's has it. It's Kava, the Kava root. Amen. Well, without giving things away, we've got a full day ahead of us, so let's gather our stuff, put it in our bags, get those sandals on, and let's get it trucking. I think Jesus is ready to head out. Just as a hint, we're heading out to Jericho today. So, on the way to Jerusalem, but taking a side trip to Jericho. You might know what's coming. All right, let's gather around and start with chapter 10, verse 46. Turn the monks down a little. Here we go. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Into chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers"? And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Amen. A little refreshment here. Now that's a full day, even though we know it took about 2.5 days in the gospel. We came to Jericho, we went into Jerusalem, we went back to Bethany, and then we came into Jerusalem again, or at least headed to Jerusalem again. And quite a few things happened on our little excursion this time. Things that we've known about and heard about and read about. The blind beggar, Bartimaeus, we finally met in Jericho. Palm Sunday, and Jesus's entry into Jerusalem, the strange story of the cursing of the fig tree, and of course the cleansing of the temple. So that's a lot to think about, a lot to absorb. Let's go back and hear it one more time and clean out any clutter we've got, delete the hard drive, create a blank slate for Jesus to write on each of our hearts uniquely for the message that's in the gospel for us today, just for us, just for you. And let's begin. Chapter 10, verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Chapter 11, when they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Just a few comments about the things we've seen with Jesus today. Remember the story of the blind beggar Bartimaeus. It's his faith that makes him well. Jesus says this over and over again in healings. He says to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has made you well." And when you're healed spiritually like this, then your physical ailments also are healed. So his faith made him well, and immediately he regained his sight. That's a pattern for how Jesus changes us and changes our lives and heals us of our sin. Maybe as we were getting ready to enter Jerusalem, he says two of his disciples were sent into the village ahead. I wonder if one of them was you. Would you be willing to do that? Would you follow his command or his request and go into that village and bring the colt back? Wonder who those disciples were who did that and went and retrieved the colt. And of course, coming into Jerusalem as his followers treating him as if he is already the king, and couldn't have rested well with his opponents, the scribes and the Pharisees. We have this interesting, strange story of the cursing of the fig tree and the lesson of the withered fig tree. Just things to remember. Jesus said to that tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." Knowing that he was being overheard, exhibiting the power that he has over everything, including nature, including a fig tree, knowing that Peter and the others are going to overhear it. And then when he's asked to explain it, why the fig tree withered, well, the fig tree's purpose was no longer available to feed, to provide figs, not just leaves, but to provide figs. So that purpose, the whole purpose of the fig tree existing was taken away, and therefore it withers, giving us an example of what happens to us when we can't fulfill our God-given purpose in this world. We wither away and live a life that's missing the most important thing. And the response Jesus gives to that is about prayer and the power of prayer. And really, it's a lesson that I wonder if any of us really believe. If you say to the mountain, "Be taken up and thrown into the sea," and if you don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. What does that mean? Does that mean we can pray for anything? Well, it means prayer has to be sincere. It has to be something realistic and not a game, not a magic trick. And it has to be believed in the deepest part of our soul, and then it will be done for you. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's a statement of eternal work. You see, whatever you ask for, believe that you have already received it, and it will be yours. As if everything has already been done, and we just need to open our eyes and see it and receive it, right? Finally, to go back to the temple, one thing that a lot of folks don't focus on, but when Jesus gives the teaching and he quotes and he quotes the prophets, he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Well, people don't focus on that. They focus on the commercial activity that's going on in the temple, the buying and selling and, you know, the extortions going on with paying too much for this or that sacrificial animal or whatever. That's what we seem to focus on. He says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And clearly this was not a temple for all nations, for all beliefs, for all people. This was a temple restricted to a very small group of people, a people who thought they were exalted and elevated, a very exclusive group of people who refused to accept any other kinds of people into their way of life. So when Jesus says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations," he's saying, you have failed to serve God's original purpose. You have made something in a religion other than what is the Father's will. We don't talk about that much. Well, full day, amen. Let's hear from Jesus. We've been with him for a while now, and he's got some things to say to us before we settle down for the evening. Let's crank up the monks a little bit, will you? Put our ears on Jesus and hear him speak. "I am your Lord. Seek me as friend and lover of your soul, but remember that I am also King of Kings, sovereign over all. You can make some plans as you gaze into the day that stretches out before you, but you need to hold those plans tentatively, anticipating that I may have other ideas. The most important thing to determine is what to do right now. Instead of scanning the horizon of your life, looking for things that need to be done, concentrate on the task before you and the one who never leaves your side. Let everything else fade into the background. This will unclutter your mind, allowing me to occupy more and more of your consciousness. Trust me to show you what to do when you have finished what you are doing now. I will guide you step by step as you bend your will to mine. Thus, you stay close to me on the path of peace. Amen. What a beautiful ending. We've gone a little extra long today, but I do want to squeeze in a prayer for our favorite listener, at least my favorite listener, my mom Lois, who is at Sarah Bush Lincoln Hospital today, awaiting surgery on an ankle that she broke yesterday as she took a spill at IGA. All things considered, could have been a lot worse. Amen. And I'm praying for a healthy healing and a joyful heart and comfort in her soul. And I love you, Mom. And we'll all talk tomorrow. Until then, may God bless your life.